Well, first of all, studies show that up to 50% of all implant records are incorrect through not having products recorded, incorrect product numbers. The impact on quality of the patient records is significant.
Millions of patients undergo surgical procedures every single day. They place their lives in the hands of healthcare providers who are committed to delivering safe, functional, and sterile instrumentation for every surgery. Working behind the scenes are the technicians who go largely unknown, even to the patients whose lives are so dramatically impacted by their work. This is Beyond Clean, the global voice of sterile processing. Join us as we explore this hidden world and introduce you to the unsung heroes who are driving the advancement of our profession. And now your hosts, Justin Poulin, Michael Matthews, and Hank Balch.
This week on Beyond Clean, we speak with Phil Sales, founder and president of Summate Technologies. Summate has developed a total solution for digitally managing orthopedic implant trays. Summate's patented marking technology and software enables the first point implant usage scanning at the point of use during surgery and inside the sterile field, automating the implant supply chain. Phil has founded and sold two companies in the clinical diagnostic market, is the author of 8 U.S. patents, and spent 15 years as a trauma device rep for Synthes, where he managed $1 million territory across 3 states. This has some parallels, guys, to previous interviews that we've done. Obviously, Kirthi Kanabati's interview with Ready Set Surgical touched upon a lot of similarities here, but this has some distinct differences, and we're going to get into that with Phil today on this episode. Really excited to do that. And Mike, I don't know about you, but there's just never enough tracking.
No, there really isn't. And the more you look at it, the more you'll be shocked at just how much is done really old school and hasn't really been updated in 20 years. And I can tell you that if you want to see the look of pure terror, look at a sterile processing technician's face the first time they ever lay eyes on a Synthes small frag set. Those of us who've done it for a while, are comfortable with it. But, when you've got a department that has really high turnover rates, these new people come in, there's all these screws and plates. I mean, there's so much room for error within that. So I'm really excited to talk to somebody who has some potential answers.
Healthmark has intelligent solutions for your cleaning verification program, including products to measure water temperature, water quality, cleaning efficacy, and directly test for residual soil left on instruments. Find your tools for cleaning verification at hmark.com. There you will learn about our TOSI and SonoCheck that test the performance of mechanical washers as recommended in sterilization standards guidelines. Other products like CartWash Check test for mechanical efficiency and target temperature. The ProCheck 2 can detect residual protein to a very low level. Go to hmark.com today for all of your cleaning verification testing needs. It's 2023 and there's big news for IST. A closed warning letter, a new product launch, and a 10-year anniversary. OneTray IST has a lot to celebrate this year. OneTray's 2006 cleared 48-hour storage claim was acknowledged by the FDA, and the company is pushing forward, offering the total solution for reprocessing. OneTray maximizes reprocessing time. EasyTrax adds flexibility with instrument organization, and their upcoming product, OneCart, a sealed case cart with a smaller footprint and a perfect option for off-site sterilization, completes the total solution. Experience a year of efficiency with OneTray. For more information on the closure of the warning letter, visit OneTray.com/FDA warning letter. That's OneTray.com/FDA warning letter. Otherwise, you can reach out to the company by calling 937-619-0138 or visit onetray.com/contact.
Joining us now is Phil Sales, founder and president of Summate Technologies. And we've had a few previous guests on the show that have talked about sort of vendor tray management and different aspects of that. But we're going to take you to a little bit of a different place with this conversation. And it's about the digitalization of surgical implant management. And I thought, Phil, welcome to the show. Maybe you can kick it off by talking about the scope and the definition of surgical implant management.
Sure. Well, I thank you for having me on. I worked for 15 years for Synthes as a trauma rep. Basically, what I noticed, I came from other industries, I noticed that the management of the implant supply chain falls to a very manual process of pens, papers, sticky notes, 2 to 3 manual input steps at the computer between 4 to 5 different people in different areas of the hospital. And what we focused on was developing a new technology, which is based on a modified RFID chip, which can be used to mark trays with a scanner that sterilizes. The entire implant recording process can be now done in the field during surgery, and implant usage can be recorded and scanned at point of use in surgery. Digitizing the information then allows the supply chain to be digital all the way through, which leads to great efficiencies. It takes a 5 to 7 manual step process down to 1 scanned, automated, accurate step.
Phil, you said that, you know, usually it falls under about, you know, 5 to 6 different people's hands. You know, who are those 5 to 6 different people? What departments do they work for, and who all is involved with managing these surgical implants as it stands right now?
It's a great question. Right now, depending upon the facility and the type of device rep support they have, it always starts with the surgical technician in the field. Typically, they have a pen and they're manually recording on the Mayo stand or the back table in the sterile field what they're using. And that information is then relayed to either a sales rep or a circulating nurse, then manually inputs the information. And then the information is sent down to purchasing, where a person usually manually inputs the information into the computer again. And then the sales rep is quite often tasked with reordering and restocking the trays, where there's another person on the other end of the phone taking an order and processing the order. Depending on the hospital, it can be between 5 to 7 different people in different areas of the hospital.
What's the overall market value that we're talking about, right, in this arena?
The implant supply chain is, in the United States, is about a $45 billion market. And there's estimated to be about, numerous studies indicate that there's estimated to be about $5 billion of waste stuck in that supply chain due to all the manual processes.
Now, Philip, you know, going back to what you spoke about, all the various teams that are involved in the current workflow today and all the hands that it passes, I'm looking at this, you know, maybe from the implant's perspective and thinking, what's the typical life cycle for that particular implant and the documentation that's connected with that in a hospital? And, you know, maybe more importantly, I guess, is in the current process today, what are the potential risks and the most common breakdowns that happen in this very manual process, as you mentioned, and in a process that touches so many people's hands in and outside of the facility?
Well, first of all, studies show that up to 50% of all implant records are incorrect through not having products recorded, incorrect product numbers. The impact on quality of the patient records is significant. When I was a sales rep, I would receive several calls a year from hospitals or from doctor's offices, and they wanted me to come in to try to help them with what implants were actually in the patient. whether what brand name they were, what type of screws they were, which is it's obviously a quality issue when you have patients and you don't have a track record or a digital record of what's been implanted in them. The other area that's really impacted is the inventory on the trays, or the inventory in the back stock typically has a lot of outdated implants that are non-turning within the system. So it's cost for the hospital that sits on their books that at the end of the day, non-rotating assets, which are very expensive, is a huge cost burden for hospitals.
Yeah, I'll say as a former director and now as a consultant, I have been in numerous hospitals where on the consignment side of things, if you were to go down into the serial processing department and ask the leader, you know, what's the value of the implants here? Or, you know, what is the inventory of the implants here? Unfortunately, that can't always give a clear answer as a sterile processing leader. And it often comes back to this complex, incorrect process that you just mentioned. And, you know, historically, again, these departments and leaders have not had the tools to keep track of this, or even, you know, to have that open line of communication between supply chain and the OR and a rep in the room, for instance. So all that to say, you know, knowing the potential risks then and knowing the percentages of incorrectly documented implant records, how then today can technology, or has technology been used to streamline this process? And I guess, you know, why is that important?
Well, if you look at most hospitals, at least for trauma implants, the trays and orthopedic sets themselves often have implants that are consigned to the hospital. The backstock, which is used to replenish the sets, is often what's bought by the hospital. So the device company will consign the trays, and then the rep will work on building the inventory so that they to ensure that they don't run out of implants, but often that's paid for by the hospital. So if you go into a hospital and they have a lot of non-rotating backup or excess inventory, that's often paid for by the hospital, which is a tremendous cost burden on their books.
You know, it's funny that you say that, Phil, because my next question was to ask you, you know, how much do the vendor companies appreciate being able to get a better handle on this? Because we've heard about dead stock sitting in trunks and all of that and being unaccounted for with loaner trays. But it sounds like what you're saying here, and I think I heard you correctly, is that the hospital's already paid for it. So it truly is dead stock and waste. Well, not maybe dead stock. It might get used, but it's not rotating. It could be and could lead to dead stock that the hospital is sitting and already paid for and may never get used.
That's correct. And with updated product coming out and new trays being consigned to the hospital, that backstock is often not rotated or turned in for credit, which is, again, it's another cost burden for the hospitals, which they don't realize any value for.
So the hospitals can get money back, even if they've already paid for it, if they decide to go with a new module. They can take some of this old stock and get money back on it. I'm assuming they don't get full credit, but maybe not everybody realizes that they can return that stock if they're managing it effectively.
Typically, yes, that's correct. And to maintain good customer relations, most orthopedic companies will allow the hospitals to turn in old back stock for a credit, usually with the restock fee between 10 to 20%. The back stock is traced to purchases, and then a dollar amount is generated, which can be used to buy new implants or replenish the back stock of the new implants that they're using in the newer trays.
So we've talked about several of the potential risks involved with, you know, this poorly maintained stock. You know, I know from experience in management that oftentimes we would have reps come in, they would just bring us sets of screwdrivers in for a implant removal case, and we'd ask them why you need so many screwdrivers, and they would say, because we don't know whose screw is in there. So they're basically guessing at a lot of stuff, and that all comes back to, you know, that those poor records. And then, of course, like we just talked about, the money involved is sometimes very staggering. How can technology be used to streamline that implant management process?
Sure. Well, the gold standard of supply chain management is scanning at point of use. It's used from pretty much every industry you can imagine. It's used from Amazon to Kroger's to Walmart. And by digitizing the usage information up front, it's not only more accurate, but it also takes that supply chain from numerous manual steps to one automated step. The benefits to both the device companies and to the hospitals are basically inarguable. The problem is that the hospital OR has been relying on optical scanning technology or trying to implement optical scanning technology. The downfall there is that optical marks lose their contrast and get compromised through numerous reprocessing cycles. So barcodes, whether they're put on stickers or they're laser etched or they are direct part mark, often after 40 or 50 or 60 cycles stop working. The other problem is that they're put on highly reflective surfaces often that have trouble reading the bright lights of the OR. They have trouble picking up the optical signal. So our technology is a little different in that it's short field RFID and they can be used to mark the trays and instruments as well so that they can be scanned much more reliably.
So just to clarify for the audience, when you say optical scanning, you know, that may be obvious, but you're talking like you reference barcodes, the data matrix codes, anything that it can be seen in addition to be scanned, I guess, right?
Well, yeah. So basically what those technologies are doing is optical scanning means that reader is literally taking a picture of the 2D barcodes, which is what is commonly used. And in taking the picture, you need contrast. And what happens is the marks fade. Anything that's a surgical asset is exposed to heat, steam, abrasion, and a very harsh environment where the contrast between the black and the white, the binary digital information that's in the mark, becomes compromised over time.
And so anytime that we talk about technology, and I know I don't have to tell you this, but anytime that word comes up in conversation, especially if it's a new technology such as what you're talking about today, is there's a certain percentage of the world that just immediately recoils in fear. And I don't know if we have a higher percentage of those in healthcare or not, you know, but that automatically creates a barrier. I'm wondering if is it just a personality issue that creates barriers for adopting these types of new technologies to improve the process, or do you see it rooted elsewhere?
I think it's primarily rooted in the fact that in healthcare, there's a high degree of risk aversion just by the basis of what people are doing in the operative environment. So I think that's one factor that leads to a lack of adoption. But I also think that it's also what I call the mailroom phenomena, which is basically they're so busy and they've got so little time to stop and think and plan that it becomes very, very difficult for the operative environment to adopt change. The other problem is that the operative environment is typically run by clinically oriented people. It's a siloed, sort of walled off environment where a lot of times best business practices find it difficult to reach that environment. It's behind closed doors, and the people that run the environment are clinically oriented. So think processes and business practices that you find in the rest of the hospital, such as pharmacy, such as central supply, where scanning is ubiquitous, are less prevalent in the operating room just by the very, very walled off, sealed environment that exists there.
That's insightful. And I mean, really any of those areas, you know, the OR and sterile processing, anything that's behind that red line, it does become more difficult just, you know, to physically get to those folks. But then also, as you mentioned, you know, the siloed communication. And as all of our listeners know, that's one of the primary reasons that we started the Beyond Clean podcast, is to start getting over those walls, if you will, or, you know, through the window, whatever it is, to get information and conversation going. So I totally agree that that's probably one of the factors here slowing down that conversion process. But I know you mentioned earlier that the technology in particular that you're speaking on, it is not a classic RFID technology. And even though that technology, we did an episode here recently talking about RFID into the OR and instrument space. One of the barriers with that is a big upfront capital investment. You've got to have readers in order for all of this to work. And I know you mentioned that with your technology, there's a scanner that's able to be sterilized. But what other aspects would go into making something like your technology work or other technologies in this space in terms of capital investment to actually get it off the ground and going?
So one of the areas we've been keenly focused on is developing a return on investment or ROI calculator for the hospital, which is something that can be driven from the CFO or C-level suite downward. One of the challenges that face any type of systems technology that goes into a hospital is that it touches upon a lot of different departments. So when you're talking about software and scanning in the operating room, it not only is used in the operating room, you have IT involved, you have sterile processing involved, you have nursing involved. So it's a factor that leads to a difficult sales process. That combined with the urgency of just making sure the cases go, make the sales cycle on this challenging. So we've developed an ROI calculator that will appeal to the hospital at the CFO level, where we can show that there is a clear return on investment through efficiency on scanning at point of use for the hospital to gain. This makes it easier for the hospital to get all the disparate departments that this touches involved in the process.
Now, you mentioned previously that you had come out of the medical device rep world yourself, but just kind of hearing this entire conversation and all the impact that it's going to have in the OR room, also down into the sterile processing space, is technology like this, is it feeding into that conversation or maybe the temptation, if you will, to transition to a repless model in the OR, or is it just another tool to make that process more efficient? Where does that come down in terms of the device rep themselves?
So that's a great question. And you've got a problem in the OR in that the surgeons quite often want the rep there because the rep can provide them information and fix problems and answer questions for the surgeon. Although on routine cases, in my experience, the rep is usually not always necessary. And the rep can be just someone that helps to record things and even change the radio. I mean, I know that sounds silly, but for routine cases, there's absolutely no need to have a representative in the room. But I think that the surgeons look at the rep as a crutch. And I understand why, because the surgeon is relatively helpless in the field. So having that extra resource there is in an emergency or something comes up that they're not expecting can be very, very helpful. However, as the hospital adapts new tools, learns to utilize technology, I think the reps are going to become less and less prevalent in the OR. Research shows that reps add about 20% to an implant case, and I don't think this is a cost that hospitals want to carry.
Phil, we've talked a lot about the OR's role in scanning at the point of use. Can you elaborate for us what SPD's role would be then with the management system?
Sure. Well, a supply chain as a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. So one of the key features is obviously scanning at point of use during surgery, which alleviates some of the pressure on the circulating nurse to get the implants into the system when she's got a lot of other tasks to complete. The other key piece to this is sterile processing. And when the usage information on the implants is digitized, it can be used down in sterile processing attached to that tray. So that sterile processing, when they go to inventory the tray, if they're in fact doing it and doing the restocking, they can look at the record of the surgical case and have a much better, more accurate view to what was used in the case for restocking. We've done some initial studies which show that it can take doing a tray restock for hospitals that actually do it from about an hour down to about 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's terrific. There's a lot of sterile processing technicians out there who are clapping their hands because I have done those trays, especially if it's a newer tray or a larger tray that you're not familiar with. It can be a very long process to go through and identify. And I was in a facility not too long ago where they had issues at either the restock in their cabinet was in the correct slot or the screws in the caddy were in the incorrect slot the previous time, and there was just no way to even go back and figure out where did this go wrong, besides just realizing now, oh, this has been wrong. How long has it been wrong? And did we even document this particular screw appropriately, because it wasn't the screw that the caddy said that it was supposed to be to top it off, you know? So, yeah, there's that lack of transparency even for sterile processing puts us behind the eight ball to even do a good job. It is easy for us, like you said, to become a weak link in that process, but not even – it's not our fault. We just don't have the tools to do it.
Absolutely. No, I agree with you 100%, Hank. And that's part of the reason why I developed the technology with some of my coworkers, was to solve this problem. When the trays come out and they come out of the washer and they come to the bench, all the technician has to do is scan the tray, and then it's a touch screen interface. Just touch the implant list, and they can see and print out a full list of what implants were used, with descriptions, with part numbers. So they could go to a backstock bin and accurately pull the implants that were used and quickly and accurately restock the tray.
Wow.
I'd love to do a demo for you guys, an online software demo.
So we've been talking in this interview, obviously, about a new technology that's moving out of the manual into the digitized space. But I want to ask you here before we start to wrap is, what's next? You know, you have moved the football down the field a number of yards, you know, but there's obviously still further to go. Can you speak to maybe the other technology that's going on in the industry that we know is going to be the next step, but we're not there yet? You know, what's shaking out there?
So one of the key points here is that I think for industry adoption, not only the hospitals and healthcare providers are going to have to get behind this, but I think the implant companies themselves are entering into a more collaborative phase with hospitals, where hospitals are seen as partners, less just customers. So I think the companies that will move first and adopt this technology will be seen by the hospital as true partners and bringing them a solution that helps them do their jobs more completely, and not only saving money, but from an accuracy standpoint. So our initial goal is to, we have two or three trials right now going at hospitals here in the Northeast, but we look forward to working with the implant companies and developing this as a standard, so that when trays come in on loaners, they're ready to be scanned. And I think that's going to be an important part of this, is to have the device industry adopt and get behind it in the light of trying to be partners with the hospital, as opposed to just sort of a more traditional adversarial role, a partner to help the hospitals do their job better and improve healthcare.
Phil, that's really great stuff. I mean, this is obviously something that needs to be addressed. When we talk about all the waste that's in healthcare financially, you know, really getting a handle on it and streamlining it so that the cost to reduce the waste for manpower's sake isn't so high that people don't take the initiative. So really sounds like you've got something here that's going to help hospitals really save some money. And I do like where you're going with the partnership. There's been a lot of emphasis on this repless model. I'm not sure the totally repless model will ever work completely, but it certainly will be much more trustworthy when you have that partner relationship versus fox in the hen house type relationship that a lot of people in purchasing and supply chain sort of view it as. So thank you so much for sharing your insights on the show today.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Appreciate your time as well. Thank you.
That was Phil Sales, founder and president of Summate Technologies. Hank, you know, this whole repless model that's been floated out there. Recently, there was an article on NPR, and then also, if you were listening to NPR, there was a piece on audio as well on the radio. And I think our friend Sean Flynn mentioned it or posted it. I know it made its rounds on LinkedIn. It's definitely very interesting, and I don't really see it happening, but I do like what we heard from Phil just in terms of more collaboration, more partnership, more visibility, and we need these cost controls in healthcare so we can spend the money more wisely.
That's true, Justin. And you know, having been a leader in sterile processing and dealt with reps from that angle, not in the OR, you know, but what happens after the OR, what happens before, we deal with a lot of reps in that space as well. And I can understand the argument for the repless model in the OR, but without any other tools, it makes me very hesitant to say, well, all the reps are going to go away. Who's going to tell us what goes back in this tray or what's wrong with this tray? And that's where I really believe this kind of technology that Phil discussed can get us there, and not in a rep-free zone, but in a less dependent space on that rep knowledge, that we could have the knowledge and tools to do our jobs effectively. And I think everyone agrees that that's where we need to go as an industry.
Yeah, you definitely do. And think about how many times that rep is coming in on weird hours and just how odd that can be for their lifestyle. You know, that was always like when you're doing that job, you know that person's working hard because they may be the only one who has the information that they can bring to the table. This would also give more people the ability to solve a solution or be able to manage inventory at least and empower the hospitals to be essentially fully staffed and ready at any given time. That's going to do it for this week's show. As a reminder, you can help support us by subscribing to Beyond Clean on iTunes or Stitcher, and now also on Google Play and Spotify. Simply search for Beyond Clean Podcast. We'd certainly appreciate a rating and a review because your feedback is important to us here on the show. If you have any topics that you'd like us to cover on a future episode, or if you'd like to share a picture anonymously on our Instagram page, just send an email to info@beyondclean.net. On behalf of Hank, Mike, and myself, thank you for listening to another edition of Beyond Clean.